and not only talks, but it moans. And then it does solos, depending on who's listening. They came back the next day with more money. Balak said, I'll promote you, Balaam. I give you a great honor. I give you everything you want if you just come and curse these people. And when Balaam saw all of that wealth, he came back with more. Now, God had already told him he can't do it.
All right.
You know what he told the servant? Y'all spend the night.
All right.
Spend the night.
You are listening to the very best of community radio. Presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
I'll give Miss Lisa Knowles of the Brown Singers a round of applause.
It's that time of the year at the place where God blesses his people. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church family, located 1210 M.W. Harrison Street, Leesville, Louisiana, where the senior pastor, the Reverend Joseph L. Garner, presents its annual Historical Family and Friends Day as a night of gospel worship, taking place Saturday, May 16, 2015 at 6:30 p.m. at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. This year's gospel recording artists are the Stellar Award winners Lisa Knowles and the Brown Singers, live in concert, singing all of your gospel faith. Longing and praying for a place to get your praise on, shout, stomp your feet, or clap your hands, or just say thank you, Lord, then save the date. Saturday, May 16th, 2015, at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church Family Gospel Night, featuring gospel artist Lisa Knowles and the Brown Singers. Open at 6:30 p.m. at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, 1210 M.W. Harrison Street, Leesville, Louisiana. General admission, $20. For ticket and additional information, please phone 337-238-1779. That's 337-238-1779. This has been another Pleasant Hill Church production.
And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen. Let's thank God for our choir once again. You don't hear a whole lot of choir singing a cappella anymore in the tradition of our four parents. Amen. What a blessing it is. Amen. Minister Wilson, I think it's good. I think it's good. Thank you. Glory and honor be to God, for he is the author and the finisher of our faith. To our associate ministers, to our deacons and deaconesses, and to all of you who share with us in the house of the Lord on today. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to church. Amen. And it certainly is good to be here. I meant to do this earlier, but I want to commend all of the adult workers who work with our young people to prepare them, amen, for the competition on yesterday in Monroe. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Landry. And I know I shouldn't call names because I'll leave somebody out, but Sister Miller, Cornelia Miller, God bless you. Sister Green, I know she helped out. And Roderick Wilson, he helped out. And who else? Who am I forgetting? Who? All of them. Amen. We thank God for who? Amen. Tiffany, amen, with our dancers. And so let's thank them one more time. Thank y'all so much. We want to call your attention again on this Sunday to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37. We want to continue with the sermon that we started on last week, Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 7. There you will find these words: the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Amen. On this Sunday, the hand of the Lord is upon you, part 2. Amen. The hand of the Lord is up on you, part 2. On last Sunday, thank you, ushers, on last Sunday, we told you how the prophet knew that the hand of the Lord was upon him. How is it that the prophet knew that the hand of the Lord was upon him, and how should we know, amen, when the hand of the Lord is upon us? Well, first of all, we told you that Ezekiel said the Lord carried him out. And he said that in essence, the first way that I know that the hand of the Lord is upon me is because he delivered me. He brought me out. Amen. And if any of you have ever been in a tight situation and the Lord has been a deliverer in your life, he brought you out of a tough situation. Amen. Then you know his hand is upon you because he brought you out. He is a deliverer. Amen. But then secondly, we told you Ezekiel says, and the Lord set him down in the midst of this valley. And we said that the second reason that Ezekiel could say beyond any doubt, amen, that the hand of the Lord was upon him is because the Lord disciplined him. And we all can thank God, because the Bible says those whom he loves, he chastises, amen. The psalmist David said, amen, that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And all of that speaks to the fact that not only is God a deliverer, but God is also a disciplinarian, and we ought to thank him for that. I know his hand is on me because he's got to spank me sometime. Yes, yes. Amen. And I told y'all how that when I was growing up, my greatest fear was my daddy putting his hand on me. But now that I'm grown and my father in heaven is my father, he is my daddy, amen, my fear is not that he'll put his hand on me, but my fear is that he will take his hand off of me. Come on, how many of you would be honest and say you need a whipping sometime? Amen. So we know that the hand of the Lord is upon us because he delivered us. We know that his hand is upon us because he disciplined us. But then finally, he says that the Lord, amen, led him round about. in the midst of this open valley. And so we discover that not only is God a deliverer and not only is God a disciplinarian, but we also discover that God directs our paths. He directs us. I know his hand is on me because, y'all, there are some things that I've come through that I should not have come through, but the only way I can stand here today and testify that I came through it is because the Lord was directing me. I told you last Sunday that many times we erroneously believe that God only directs us into places of comfort, into places of ease, into places where everybody likes us. But that is a lie. Amen. God wants to get the best out of us, and he knows that in order to get the best out of us, sometimes he has to lead us into some dead situations. I know I'm not the only one that has been in some dead situations. But on today, we want to not talk about how we know the hand of the Lord is upon us, but today we want to focus in on, amen, why the hand of the Lord is upon us. Why does God have his hand on you? Why does God have his hand on your life? Why did God have his hands on Ezekiel? Why does he put his hands on me? The first reason is because God wants you to see something. In verse 2, the prophet says, he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. Bones that were very dry. Y'all, Ezekiel saw dry bones. What is a bone? A bone is a relic or remembrance of what life used to be. Bones are an indication that at some point there was life, but now the life has gone, and all that is left is this memory or relic. And God says to Ezekiel, I want you to look around, and I want you to see something. I have something that I want to show you. God wanted him to see. Here it is. God wanted him to see the severity of the situation. Because, my brothers and sisters, the first step to doing something about a situation is you have to have a clear picture of what you're looking at. You Bible readers will remember how God took Nehemiah outside at nighttime and had him to walk around the city to give him a clear vision of how the wall had been torn down and how the city had been decimated. And that clear vision is what formed the prerequisite for Nehemiah's building campaign. All of us need a clear vision of the world around us because it is so easy to become desensitized to the severity of our spiritual situation. God wants to show us something. Tell your neighbor, God wants to show you something. Amen. Amen. God wants us to see things as they are. There is some sister here today that is jacked up right now because you were not able to see things as they really were. Come on, when you first met him, he looked like everything that you had dreamed of. He looked like he had just stepped out of your mind into your life. He had the Bill, the Beamer, and the Bucks. In your mind, he was F-I-N-E fine. He smiled right. He talked right. His belt and shoes were matching. He had hair that was manicured. His mustache and goatee were working just right. He treated you right, took you out, wined you and dined you, and you exhaled and started sounding like Beyonce. You didn't think I saw you, but I saw you in your car at the traffic light, amen, singing, baby, you put my love on top. It's you. You're the only one I love. You're the only one I need. And yet no sooner than you gave him your heart, things began to go downhill. Now he doesn't even call, he doesn't text, he doesn't tweet, he doesn't email you. And do you want to know what went wrong? Can I tell you real quickly what went wrong? You did not have a clear vision of who he was to begin with. Okay, y'all don't want to say it. Now, let me talk to the brothers. Let me talk to the brothers. Some brother is listening to me right now. You're confused and frustrated because when you first met her, you were knocked off your feet. Because she had the eyes, she had the hips, and the fingertips. She was a bad mamma jamma. She had you buying roses by the dozen and candy by the pound. And not just on Valentine's Day, but on any given day. And now she's always complaining, never happy, increasingly unavailable. And do you want to know what went wrong? Can I tell you? You did not have a clear vision of who she really was. So God wanted Ezekiel to see the severity of the situation. He wanted him to know, he wanted Brother Man to know that it takes more than money to give meaning. It takes more than a job to get joy. You can have all of that and still be dead. I know I got a witness up in here. I need somebody to help me. I believe that there's somebody listening to me right now. You got up this morning, ate your cream of wheat, had your coffee and your toast, but the truth about you is that you're dead. Oh, I'm going to see who's dead in just a minute. Amen. You got on Gucci and Prada, Dolce and Gabbana. You got on Louis Vuitton, Yves Saint Laurent, but you're dead. You rolled up here in a BMW, but you're dead. You're living bi-level, tri-level, split-level, even on the level, but you're dead. You've got a cell phone full of fake friends and fair-weather associates, but you're dead. You belong to AKA Delta, Sigma, Theta, Sigma, Gamma, Rho, and all of that, but if the truth would be told, you're dead. You've got your MBA from LSU, but the truth of the matter is that you're dead. Because none of those things, tell your neighbor, can't none of that give you life. Tell that other neighbor that the only somebody that is able to give you life is Jesus. Is there anybody in here that can testify that if it hadn't been for the Lord who was on my side, if I didn't have God in my life, I would still be dead? Is there anybody that can testify he picked me up and turned me around and placed my feet on solid ground? So I thank God that I don't need anybody but the Lord. So I'm here to answer the question today, why did God put his hand on Ezekiel? Because he wanted him to see something. Tell your neighbor, God wanted him to see something. But there's another reason. Not only did he want him to see something, he also wanted him to realize something. Because it says in verse 3, Son of man, God is asking the question, can these bones live? Recognizing their despair, God calls their conclusion into question by asking the prophet a question. Can these bones live? God wanted to know, Ezekiel, do you believe that it is possible for things to be different? Or have you concluded that that is just the way it is? And my brothers and sisters, that's the same question that God has for us. God has a question for us. Can these bones live? God says, I'm looking at your life and I know it don't look good. I know that the situation is scattered, disconnected, unorganized, disassociated, and disjointed. I know that your promise does not match your present. I know that your month outlasts your money. I know that everybody near you believes that nothing good is going to come to you, but I want to know, what do you say? Can these bones live? Because my brothers and sisters, one thing you need to learn about life, you need to learn that life is a matter of perspective. And until you see right, things will never be right. Because it's not what happens to you, but what happens in you that will make a difference for you. And that is why no matter what goes down, you've got to have expectation alive in your heart. You've got to believe that God is going to do something better. You've got to believe that God is going to do something greater. You've got to have faith and believe that no matter how it's looking right now, I serve a God who is able. Is there anybody here who knows that he's able? So even if people don't believe in you, better learn how to believe in yourself, even if people don't like you. I've said it before, find you a mirror in your own house. Get in that mirror and start complimenting your own self. I made up my mind a long time ago that I wasn't going to wait on folk to applaud me. I wasn't going to wait on folk to pat me on the back. I wasn't going to wait on nobody to tell me I look good and that I know I'm good. I get in that mirror, I look at the man in the mirror, and I've got to remind myself, boy, you sure looking good today. I've got to remind myself, yeah, you lost a few pounds. You were all right big. Hey, amen, you're still big, but you're looking better now. You're doing better now. Is there anybody who has had to learn how to encourage yourself? Encourage yourself in the Lord. If they don't like the way you sing, sing it anyway. Don't want to ride on the train with you? That's all right. Amen. There's more seats. I can sit wherever I want to. Folk don't want to get on the elevator of life with you. That is fine with me. I'm going to take this ride up by myself. If you don't want to go up with me, let me help you. Let me stop on this floor. Let you get off because I'm going higher in the Lord if I got to go by myself. Is there anybody that's made up your mind that if I have to go by myself, Son of Man, can these bones live? And y'all, how does Ezekiel respond? He says, I don't know. Can these bones live? Lord, I don't know. But God, I know one thing, you know. I need to stop right here and tell somebody that what you don't know, God knows. What you cannot see, God can. What you don't know about tomorrow, my sister, God knows. You may not know what next year holds, but God does. You may not know how things will work out, but God does. You may not know how your child's situation is going to turn out, but God does. Can these bones live? Ezekiel said, I don't know, but Lord, you know. You've got the power. You've got the wisdom. You've got the insight. You've got the capacity. You've got the ability. You can speak and stuff will happen. You can declare and things will show up. You can call those things that are not as though they were because you are the God of the impossible. Is there anybody glad to know you serve the God of the impossible? What you can't see, tell your neighbor, God can see it. See, I can talk about what was, but I serve a God that can talk about what's going to be. Amen. So why did God put his hands on you? Well, number one, God wanted you to see something. But then secondly, he wants you to realize something. He wants you to realize that even though it looks impossible to you, he can handle it. Let that marinate for a minute. Somebody came in here with head bowed low. No joy in your heart, no praise on your lips, no clapping in your hands because you have allowed a situation, the severity of the situation to overwhelm you. You have allowed the complexity of the complaint to overtake you. You have allowed what looks so hard to steal your praise. But I hope you will leave out of here high-stepping. I hope you will leave out of here high-fiving somebody, letting them know that God wanted me to see something. He wanted me to see that he could handle it. He wanted me to know that even though it looks impossible to me, it's not impossible to him. Is there anybody that can give God a right now praise for what he's getting ready to do, for how he's getting ready to deliver, for how he's getting ready to make a way out of no way? Give him praise in this place. But then finally, I need to tell you that the Lord has his hands on you. Not only because he wants you to see something. Not only because he wants you to realize something. But you need to get this. You need to get this. You need to get this. God has his hands on your life. As a matter of fact, you're still alive. You survived what should have taken you out. Because not only does he want you to see something, and not only does he want you to realize something, but wake up, wake up, wake up. God wants you to do something. He wants you to do something. God said to the prophet Ezekiel, you're right. The bones are dead and dry. But I don't want you to write the obituary yet. I don't want you to preach the eulogy yet. As a matter of fact, go tell Sister Corbin and Sister Robinson and them back there in the kitchen. Don't drop the chicken in the grease yet. Tell the mortician to leave the hearse in the garage. Because I got something else in mind. This is a word for somebody who came here feeling like giving up. This is a word for somebody who came here feeling like, amen, your journey had come to its end.
But I've come by to tell you today that the Lord said the reason you woke up this morning, because he wants you to see something. He wants you to realize something. But ultimately, he woke you up because he wants you to do something. He tells Ezekiel, I want you to do something strange and unusual. I want you to preach to the dry bones, and I want you to tell those dry bones to hear the word of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, you need to know that takes courage. I said it takes courage. It takes a special kind of confidence to speak life into a dead situation. There's a clip on YouTube of this woman. She took her daughter to the zoo. She dressed her daughter. She was all in the zoo mode, amen. She dressed her daughter up in a little zebra outfit. And they got there to the lion's cage, and you could tell by looking at the video that the lion was agitated. The lion was pawing at the little girl. The little girl was right up against the glass, and that lion was pawing at the little girl. And when they walked away, somebody asked the mother, "Mother, were you afraid? Were you worried that the lion was gonna get your baby?" She said, "No, I wasn't worried, because I knew that there was something between my child and the lion that the lion could not get through. I knew that no matter how hard the lion pawed at my baby was safe." And somebody needs to get that in their spirit today. As a matter of fact, you need to walk out of Pleasant Hill with that in your spirit today. Somebody needs to show up on the job tomorrow with that in your spirit. You need to have the confidence to know that what God has called you to do, you're going to do it, because there is somebody between you and your problem. There is somebody between you and your struggles. There is somebody between you and your sickness. There is somebody between you and your haters. There is somebody between you and them that they cannot see, but no matter how hard they paw at you, they can see where you are, but they can't get to where you're at. Because where you are, there is something between you and them. And God wants you to do something. So if what you see is not what God says, don't settle for what you see. But my brother, my sister, don't settle for what you see. What you need to do is start saying what God says. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, I see that I'm broke, but God says I'm blessed. I see that I'm sick, but God says I'm healed. I see that I'm struggling, but God says I'm strong. I see that I'm wounded, but God says I'm whole. I see that I'm confused, but God says I have a sound mind. I see what I see, but I'm not gonna say what I see. I'm gonna say what God says until I see what he says. God says to Ezekiel, I know that it sounds ridiculous. I know it don't make sense, but say what I say. Tell that neighbor, say what God says. Say what God says. Challenge the sleepy to wake up. Challenge the lazy to get up. Challenge the tired to perk up. Challenge the depressed to lighten up. Challenge the complainers to look up. Challenge the liars to shut up. God said to Ezekiel, just preach. And I'll tell you what to preach, because somebody needs to know that if God can restore humanity, then God can restore this nation. And if God can restore a nation, then God can restore a state. And if God can restore a state, then God can restore a city. And if God can restore a city, then God can restore a family. And if God can restore a family, then God can restore a church. And if God can restore a church, I've come by to tell you that he can restore you.